So I just wanted to get that straight. And also joining us this afternoon is Susan Koshevar, and she's no stranger to radio. And Susan is running for House District 29.
Yep. We're in Westminster and Arvada.
All right, Susan, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thank you.
So tell us, Susan, a little bit about your campaign and why you decided to jump into this race.
Well, yeah, I've had a few instances of fighting off government. I had to fight for my business, which is the ADA Drive in Commerce City. I had some regulations that just about put me out of business, and I had to fight for that. And I had the FBI try to search my house without a warrant, and I had to put a stop to that. And then the city in which I'm located just about ran me out of business, and my customers helped put a stop to that. And in the middle of that fight, the person that was running for my house district stepped out of the race in the middle of the race, and I'd had just about enough with this unseen, unelected giant bureaucracy that we have. And so I stepped into the race. That was in 2014. I had half a race, $12,000, and I came within 1,500 votes.
Wow, that's pretty close. Mm-hmm. You jumped in halfway, you said, right?
Halfway through. Wow. Actually, a little less than that. I think I had probably 5 weeks, 6 weeks total to campaign.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of great reasons to jump in, but I think it's more for you than just the business side of it, just being persecuted by the business. I think you have a philosophy on government that you'd like to see have happen down at the State House.
Yeah, so it's all about principle, you know. The principles that are outlined in our Constitution, you know, property rights and individual rights, freedom to practice your religion, all of those things are extremely important to me.
Well, you know, the government should not be, this is one of the things that scares me about Donald Trump, is that he's used eminent domain, you know like you and I would go to the grocery store. I mean, he uses this thing all the time to get what he wants. This is one of the things that bothers me about it. And if you want to argue with us on that, give me a call, 303-477-5600. But you were under that kind of pressure when they were trying to, it wasn't actually eminent domain, but they were trying to force you out by traffic laws, by crazy things like that. Is that not correct?
Well, yeah, and it wasn't even, they were just trying to claim that we were a safety hazard, even though there had been no accidents in my area. They certainly could have taken my property eminent domain, and they've done that to so many people, just snatch their property. And you're right, Donald Trump does do that sort of thing. He, at one point, said something about, you know, well, it's a government's sort of a vehicle for me to use for expanding my business, and that's what we're not supposed to do. That's called cronyism.
Yes, you are absolutely right.
If I could quickly interject just one thing.
Sure.
While I do not approve of eminent domain concept in general, I don't think we should put all the blame on Donald Trump. I think we should put most of the blame on the government officials who were doing that. Most of us would want government to give us things. It's the politicians who bend to will of or request of wealthy and influential individuals and do their biddings. So while, you know, Donald Trump did not do the right thing by trying to use eminent domain concept to push out this old lady from her home in New Jersey when he was trying to build his casino, but let us remember that ultimately, the elected officials were responsible for pushing this stuff around.
Well, you are right. And the Supreme Court affirmed being able to use eminent domain just to increase the tax base. Am I right about that, Susan?
Yeah, the Kelo decision. But that was a lot later than that.
They did. But I don't think that just because that vehicle is there, I don't think it's ethical to use it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was the politicians in Donald Trump's case were using it for unethical reasons. In other words, to give you a parallel, I don't blame welfare recipients for wanting to get free money. I'm blaming elected officials who've given it to them. Because they're supposed to represent us, and they instead just basically bribing some portion of the population to get their votes. So, you know, yes, the welfare recipients are behaving unethically by accepting free money that belongs to somebody else, really. But it's the politicians who are ultimately responsible for making that available. And that's why I hope that Susan will put an end to that.
Well, yeah, you know, it is almost like a round robin that we elect the politicians. Then they feed us. They give us the heroin or the drugs in the form of either welfare, eminent domain, or the case of the Iowa farmer, farm subsidies, you know, these kinds of things, so that we keep voting for them.
Exactly.
And it's almost like everybody nowadays is on the take in one way or another. Even if you don't want to be, you're on the table.
That's the problem.
There was a famous Austrian economist, Austrian School of Economics is this famous free market school of economics. His name was Ludwig von Mises. And so he kind of had this interesting parallel. He said, it's like we're all standing in a circle with our pocket in our neighbor's with our hand in our neighbor's pocket.
Right.
And he's got his hands in somebody else's pocket. And he's got his hands in somebody else's pocket. And the last guy got his hands in my pocket. So we're kind of stealing from each other all the time in that circle.
And eventually one of those people is going to run out of money.
Eventually, all of us going to run out of money.
That's
a very interesting parallel that he once made.
Well, and I think it takes leadership to pull us out of that. Somebody's got to say, "I'm not going to do that," and that's wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. We do need some good leadership. And you know, and it's interesting though. Down at the Colorado State House on the Republican side, anyway, we've been moving in the right direction, but there are those big government Republicans that don't like that. And I'm amazed by the amount of people, good Republicans, that are being primaried this go around. You know, Kevin Van Winkle being one of them. He's a stalwart on the conservative side.
Right.
And now he's being primaried. And I'm sure you probably know others. But let's do this first. Let's talk about Jani King of Colorado. If you want to get off the government dole, or you're tired of working for somebody else, and you decide, you know, I think I could be a business owner, Jani King of Colorado has franchises available here in the Denver metro area. Give Brian Shrevens a call, 303-294-0200.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back, everybody, to Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason. Dan Muir, Greg Goliansky, and Susan Koshevar. We're sitting in this first hour for John Rush. John's at the Auto Show, and he's going to be checking in at 4:45. So if you're listening and we're actually in the 6 o'clock hour, John won't be, you know, calling in because it's 6 o'clock. But right now in real life time, it is 3:16. So there you go, right? It's just weird that we replay this hour at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But anyway, so we're talking about principles. We're talking about principles in government. And part of the reason why you're running for the state house is because there's certain principles that you believe need to be upheld, that the founding fathers have set up, natural right principles and mm-hmm. things of that nature. And Glenn Beck had a speech at CPAC. Was it last weekend or a couple of weekends ago with CPAC?
Yeah, about 2 weekends ago.
And I think you said start about at the 30-minute mark?
I think that's about where it starts. Might be 32.
Start to 32.
33, somewhere in there.
32. Okay, I'm going to go up to 30. I'm going to go up to 31 and a half. And then we're going to start there, and we'll see if that's right. If it's way off, Susan, just let me know, and we'll stop right there. Okay, so here we go. Let's hear what Glenn had to say about principles.
Individual liberty and a government prevented by law from interfering with us. This is what made America great. And it is the only thing that can make America great again. So let's compare. Let's compare and contrast what we know to the alternative. Because mankind has spent over a century, the last 100 years, experimenting with a live A-B test, liberty versus tyranny. And what are the results? What was the leading cause of unnatural death during the 20th century? Because it wasn't cancer, it wasn't car accidents, it wasn't drugs, it wasn't alcohol, it wasn't terrorism, it wasn't gangs, it wasn't inner city violence. The greatest murderer over the last century was governments. Socialist, communist, fascist, and theist governments. During the last century, totalitarian governments murdered over 120 million of their own citizens. And that doesn't count the countless millions who died of disease and malnutrition, suffering on government health care plans and in government food programs. And they did it always, time and time again, in the name of progress, in the name of for the better good. While the American people, on the other hand, we're delivering the world a cure for polio, nuclear fission, refrigeration, telephones, televisions, the internet, lunar rockets, the iPhone, and encryption. Pro- progressivism and socialism at the same time. We're delivering the world death camps, forced starvation, gas chambers, forced abortion, and genocide beyond our wildest imagination. If the goal truly is to make America great again, the one thing we do not need more of is a government deal or a government program.
Amen to that.
Absolutely.
I think he nailed it on that. Gregory, you actually kind of lived through some of that, what it was like living in the Ukraine under the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I sort of lived there at the later time, so there was no famine, although shortages were constant. In fact, we used to joke in Kyiv that the only thing that's constant in the Soviet Union are temporary problems. they used to say, a guy walks into a store and says, "Oh, you don't have meat again?" And the store manager says, "No, comrade, they don't have meat across the street. We don't have fish." There were all sorts of jokes about this stuff. But and Glenn Beck is obviously correct in his assessment of the situation. Government is the biggest threat to human existence, as was even pointed out in the days of George Washington. He once said that, unreliable servant and a fearful master. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I listened to several other speeches at CPAC, and I understand the government is a problem. What are we going to do about it? I mean, very few people seem to have solutions. How are we going to deal with it? There is this government elite. There is this establishment. They basically, as Glenn Beck pointed out, they're essentially enslaving us, because he said everybody who's born today in America own something like more than $1 million already.
It was outrageous.
Yep, like 1,006,000 something.
Something
yes,
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he said it's a taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. And it is, and it is a form of bondage. There's no question about it. But as famous Russian author Chernyshevsky once said before the Russian Revolution, what is to be done? I didn't hear any answers.
Well, I think that's what Glenn Beck is trying to say. You have to elect candidates whose allegiance is to principle. That's the only way you're going to know how they're going to vote. Otherwise, they tend to get into government and think, I think people really shouldn't do X, or people should be banned from doing this. Or if we stopped this, then maybe these people wouldn't have this problem. And they don't see the impact, the other consequence to whatever regulation or law it is that they're passing. The only way you're going to start to cut this back is to elect candidates that understand limited government and free markets. That's the only way we're going to get this cut back.